What do you think are some of the best UFO cases that you've looked at?
Well, Bentwaters, as you mentioned, is very good.
Mm-hmm.
The level land sightings from 1957, simply because there was such a wide range of information available in multiple chains of evidence by so many people in so many locations, is very good. I always kind of like the Tremonton, Utah footage taken by Navy Ward Officer Delbert Newhouse, because it's movie footage taken in 1952. And if you combine what you see on the film with what Newhouse said, you've got a real good case for something very unusual happening. The skeptics will tell you, well, it's seagulls at the extreme range of visibility. But Newhouse said they flew over the car, and that was why he stopped and got out the camera, and they were off in the distance. A lot of research has been done on that footage that suggests, the Navy suggested, that they were internally lighted objects moving a lot faster than birds could move.
Right.
So, you know, there's some very good sightings. There was some interesting stuff out of the 1973 wave of sightings, especially when you combine them with everything else that was going on. Excuse me.
That's right. And also, let me throw out a couple here for you, Kevin,
yeah,
and get your take on it. Of course, the UFO flap over Washington, D.C. in 52.
I should have mentioned that myself. Wonderful sightings, because you had the objects show up on instrumentality, mainly the radar sets, and it wasn't a single radar set, but at one point you had radar sets in three separate locations showing the objects. You had fighter pilots launched to intercept them and finding the lights. You had commercial pilots in the air seeing the objects. You had people on the ground seeing them. Wonderful series of sightings, and culminated in my very favorite headline ever in the Cedar Rapids Gazette. I think it's July 29th, 1952. Banner headline across the front page of the paper, "Saucers Swarm Over Capitol." I'm thinking, this is a headline from a science fiction movie if I've ever seen one.
Exactly.
Yes. But, yeah, wonderful series of sightings, especially with the number of people involved, especially with the instrumentality involved. At one point, they talk about the one of the fighters is surrounded by the objects, and it got pretty hairy. Another time, they're talking about how as the fighters entered the area, the objects all disappeared until the fighters left the area. So they're responding to the presence of the fighters. I talked to Al Chop, who had been in the radar room, talked to Dewey Fournet, who'd been in the radar room, talked to a number of people about that. A great series of sightings. In fact, in a book I did called Invasion Washington, let's promote my book here, I have an interview with one of the fighter pilots that had not been published, and I was helped in that with the Houston UFO group, which is associated with MUFON. So I got some help from them in getting the transcripts of a pilot who had been involved in those sightings. It was a very good series of sightings, yes.
What about the Lonnie Zamora case of Scirocco, New Mexico? Remember that, the police officer?
Yes, yes.
Another good one, wasn't it?
Yes, and he passed away about a year ago.
Right.
Lonnie Zamora did. In fact, I have a friend, Bob Cornett, who had been visiting in New Mexico and just on a lark called up Zamora to talk to him about the sighting, and Zamora said, "Well, I don't want to talk about that, but we're barbecuing some steaks, so if you'd like to come out and have dinner with us, please feel free to do so." So he went out and had dinner with Zamora, but they didn't talk about the UFO sighting. An interesting sighting, you've got landing trace on the ground. I know that in the last year and a half, there's been some real discussion about, oh, it was a hoax engineered by... At first, it was high school students getting even with Zamora for giving them speeding tickets.
Well, they got even then.
Yeah, and then it was students at the school there in Socorro, and I forget the name of it. Charles Moore, who was the Project Mogul guy, taught there.
Was it
for years?
Was it
years
a college?
Yes, School of Mines, University. New Mexico Tech. Don't know why I couldn't think of that. But it was then their students were playing some kind of big joke on everybody, but nobody could explain exactly how they pulled it off. And although a number of people said, yeah, we know it was a hoax. They wouldn't identify who pulled it off or how it was done. And so I'm thinking that this is a very good sighting because you've got the landing trace. You've got a police officer who clearly was telling the truth as best he could.
He saw it take off, too,
yes,
didn't he?
Yes, he did. He did. Bothered me that it was a chemical rocket, though, taking off. That's kind of worrisome because you would think that a chemical rocket would not be a good interstellar craft, but if you're launching yourself into space to rendezvous with another ship, then I guess a chemical rocket works just as well as anything else.
Well, no. Why do we think it was a chemical rocket?
Because of the flame and the roar and the residue left behind.
Okay. It's not that he could have been mistaken.
Yeah, he could have been mistaken. We could have misinterpreted the evidence. They talked about some being some burnt cardboard around the area, but the problem is there's a dump less than a mile away, and they were always burning stuff there. So any residue like that you find may easily have come from the dump. There were a couple of other witnesses who weren't identified, and there were two fellows from Dubuque, Iowa, who claimed that they had been in the area at the time, and they had seen the craft as well. So there's a number of different witnesses and things like that. But Zamora was clearly reporting exactly what he had seen. He wasn't making it up. He wasn't part of a hoax. Phil Klass, our good buddy Phil Klass, decided that the mayor of Socorro at the time, and Zamora cooked up this story because the mayor owned the land where the object supposedly landed, and he was going to make it into a tourist attraction. The only problem with that is the mayor didn't own the property, and there is no tourist attraction even today, so his plan failed. But that was Phil Klass's take on it. But that's also a very good sighting.
And in all the sightings that you've investigated, what did you think of J. Allen Hynek in some of his thoughts?
Hynek, I actually worked with Hynek on a couple of investigations in Minnesota and things like that, and have been associated with the center for 20 years now. Hynek was very interesting, but the problem was he was the Air Force consultant, and I think he followed the Air Force line in the early years, of thinking that they knew what they were doing and what they were talking about, and he got a bad rap during the Michigan sightings in 1966.
Swamp gas.
Yeah, what they said, they were describing what would have been seen and where it was, and he said, well, it sounds sort of like swamp gas, and that became the answer. The news media ran off, says, well, you know, Air Force consultant says swamp gas.
Almost taunted him.
Yeah, and it wasn't really a fair thing because they're saying, well, here's the situation, and he says it sounds like swamp gas. Well, yeah, it sort of does. When you look at the descriptions of the early sightings, it certainly does sound like swamp gas, but that wasn't the ultimate explanation. Hector Quintanilla, who was the last chief of Project Blue Book, was famous for throwing out explanations that didn't work after he had heard classes. Ionization of the atmosphere thing, glowing balls of gas. Quintanilla sent out, well, this was the explanation for a number of sightings, and it sounds very scientific. And I was talking to a physicist about this at the University of Nebraska, and I was trying to figure out some of this, and it suddenly dawned on me that this ionization of the gases don't necessarily glow. So you wouldn't be able to see them visually. So if you've got a glowing object and it's seen on radar, and the ionization would show up on the radar, but if you've got a visual sighting, then you've got something that moves beyond this ionization that they talked about.